Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And I am Rich McFadden from Radio America, along with Jim Garrity from National Review, to get you into your good, bad, and crazy martinis of the day. Jim, how are you doing today?
Doing pretty good.
Good, good. We got a couple of doozies here, so let's start out with the good martini. Kay Hagan's going to leave the Democrats with just a little options in North Carolina. What's going on there?
Sure. Listeners might be saying, wait a minute, I remember that name. That was the North Carolina senator who was just defeated in 2014. So why would Democrats be so depressed that she's chosen not to run again in 2016 up against the incumbent Republican Richard Burr? And the short answer is that despite the fact that she lost last time, she still was probably the strongest candidate they had by a bunch of different measurements. Obviously, name ID. It helps to have done it before. She's run, obviously, statewide races before. You know, well-established fundraising network. And as if everybody expects Hillary Clinton is going to be the Democratic nominee, then you could see the advantage of running one woman, another woman. Yes, they have other candidates, but almost all of them have said, no, I'm not that interested. Now, with Kay Hagan officially saying no, it's possible that these folks will take a second look at it. But, Transportation Secretary Anthony Fox, he was a mayor of Charlotte for a while. There's a state treasurer, other folks who just don't have the name ID, don't have the fundraising network. Knocking off an incumbent senator is never particularly easy. There was a while, particularly back in 2008, when Barack Obama won the state and Hagan won the senatorial race, knocking off Elizabeth Dole, that North Carolina Democrats believed that they were shifting the state, that it was no longer a solid red state and it was purple. I don't know if you'd see North Carolina Republicans saying, yeah, we got this. Obviously, there's still work to be done. But it appears the reports of the comeback of the North Carolina Democratic Party have been greatly exaggerated.
So we can tentatively chalk that up, but we'll give it a little bit of time there. All right, let's move on to our bad martini of the day with the Supreme Court decision on Obamacare.
Yeah, this is a major disappointment for conservatives. It kind of indicates the last couple of months of fervent speculation have proven to be all kind of moot. The idea was that because the law said that the state had to set up an exchange to get these tax subsidies, these benefits for purchasing insurance, basically the Supreme Court has just ruled 6-3 that no, the law means what the law, what the administration says it meant, not what it actually means on paper. This is a kind of very frustrating set of circumstances, although there are probably some congressional Republicans breathing easy. My colleague Ramesh Panuru had argued that he figured that in the end, it was very likely that Republicans were going to end up restoring the subsidies for this. I suppose if you're looking for any silver lining to this, it's the contention that, well, a whole lot of Republicans don't have the Obama gave insurance and Republicans took it away argument. But this is a frustrating one because it basically means that the administration has the power to reinterpret the law any way they like, even on an issue as basic as this one. And it, I suppose we can criticize Obamacare, we can bash Obamacare, but you're already hearing people argue that today that the debate about Obamacare is over, which will be a frustrating assessment, a frustrating assertion for all of us who think this has been a terrible, terrible idea.
So every single Republican presidential candidate is sitting in their war room right now trying to figure out, and congressional candidates, how to handle this over the course of the next political season, right?
In this sense, it's easier. I oppose Obamacare. I want to repeal Obamacare. I want to replace it with a better law that will provide real choice for Americans, yada, yada, yada. The bigger question was, for people who are currently getting a subsidy to buy health insurance, do you want to take it away? And ultimately, there are a lot of Republicans who don't really want to do that because they know it's phenomenally unpopular. This is the entire core of the argument about entitlements, is that once government gives somebody something, it's very hard
you're
to take it away.
It away.
They may have, there's
you are the Grinch then.
There's a case to be made that the administration has now officially set up a new entitlement in America, a subsidy from the government to buy health insurance. And that's where we are. So, and typically scathing dissent from Scalia, I'm hearing, but in the end, it's 6-3, and there you go.
Here's your crazy martini for the day, all right? Should we ban Gone with the Wind along with the Confederate flag?
This is being put forth by a New York Post columnist by the name of Lou Luminick, who argues that it is every bit as bad as the Confederate flag, that it was, it's a subtle racism work in there. It goes to great lengths to enshrine the myth that the Civil War wasn't fought over slavery, an institution the film unabashedly romanticizes. We've just decided we're going to ban everything, aren't we?
The Civil War, anything that mentions the South, we just ought to ban. We ought to just ban the whole South, right?
We have. It's actually, we're just going to extend the North all the way down. We're all part of North America anyway. So episodes.
Exactly.
No, we've really reached the point where the people have concluded the best way to learn from history is to erase it and pretend it didn't happen.
Well, if you're going to erase a Gone with the Wind, then you also have to erase the Dukes of Hazzard with it, right?
Yes, exactly. And that's the thing, you know, that kind of jumps out. One, the Warner Brothers, which owns the rights to the show, said they're no longer going to be making toys, the licensing of the little, you know, matchbox cars of the General Lee with the Confederate flag. Of course, obviously it's called the General Lee. I suppose maybe they'll be changing that to the General Grant. And you're kind of left with this bizarre situation. Do you think, Rich, anybody in the world became a racist because of the flag on top of the Dukes
right,
of Hazzard?
Exactly.
I mean, first of all, we literally know from the opening song of the show that they never meant no harm. They are just good old boys. Never mean
just
no
good
harm.
Old boys. Never meaning no harm.
And yet somehow people have inferred this unfortunate racial implication from it. Now, again, I think it's, you know, extends if you want to argue about whether the show, you know, whether you want to argue about the Confederate flag, go right ahead. If you want to say that the show kind of took those symbols and didn't really think very hard about what it would seem to some folks in the audience, that's perfectly fine. You can have that argument. But the idea that these matchbox cars are going to somehow facilitate a culture of racism in America is a good example of our current hysteria.
Well, Ben Jones, who played Cooter on the Dukes of Hazzard, has said that he will continue to sell the flag in his stores, and he is a Democrat. He is not a bigot. He is not a racist, and that all of these people are just contributing to the wussification of America.
Yes, wussification seems very right because, you know, again, well, here's the thing. At least they still have Cooter.
That's
Cooter
it.
Stands athwart history. Cooter, you know, or stands, I guess, you know, in defense of history. We should also emphasize that is, you know, Democratic Congressman Cooter.
I want to know what Daisy Duke thinks about all this. That's who I want to
hear. There
you
go.
From.
That's exactly
I want to hear from Daisy Duke. All right, there's your good, bad, and crazy martini for today. I am Rich McFadden from Radio America. He is Jim Garrity from National Review, and we will talk to you again tomorrow for the 3 Martini Lunch.